This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is a live, spirit-filled program where no matter what chains a person to a prison of hopelessness, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, or even feelings, God can and will break those chains. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program where we discuss God's Word through focused teachings, open discussion, and life-changing testimonies.
Stretching.
Hello, everyone. It's okay, James. We're talking about with something's missing off of one of the things there. Long suffering.
That's right.
We'll be.
That's
talking
fine.
About.
I was just wanting to
but
see.
But we know it's long suffering. We've experienced
that's the one I deal
it. With. Oh, okay. Anyway, hello, everyone. Welcome back to Kingdom Recovery. We're so happy to be here with you. You're listening to WCNO on a Friday at 5, and we're excited to share our experience, strength, and hope with how God's using us to speak to you and through His Word and also through 12-step programs. So I'm Luann Lineken.
And I'm James Wrench.
James Wrench. So, and let me see. If you want to call me, you can call me at 631-745-7980. If you have any questions, if you want to share a testimony, feel free to call me, please. Okay, so we've been talking about, for those who are just joining us, step 12. And what we do here at Kingdom Recovery is relate God. We not relate. I would say join God's Word hand in hand with 12-step programs. And it's really, I would say, cognitive behavioral therapy, which is because I'm in the field of counseling and stuff. But I don't work for the secular world anymore. I work for the spiritual world of God. So whatever, and since I've received Jesus Christ, accepted Him into my heart, and received the Holy Spirit, He's really downloaded a whole other way of seeing the 12 steps of the program of 12-step programs, groups. It could be Alcoholics Anonymous, NA, all of them, OA, or even just therapeutic groups, group workshops, or even cognitive behavioral therapy, because that's what I used to follow. So he showed me how the renewing of the mind, if he's in the center of it, how you can have eternal freedom forever and not just temporary. So we want to share that with you guys. So in step 12, because we've done all the steps, and we do them over and over again, because God keeps growing us and revealing more to us. So it's like the Word of God. You can just read it over and over and learn more and more. And that's what we're supposed to do. As long as we're here on earth, we're supposed to keep growing and learning and staying humble to get more information and more wisdom and understanding of who God is in our life and what He would have us do here on earth and what His plans and purposes are. No longer myself.
And staying teachable, which is part of staying humble.
That, amen, James. Okay, so step 12 actually says this, and one of the fruits or the principles of it is service, love. God came to serve us. He sent His Son, right? So I want to say we're going to be talking, breaking it down, having had a spiritual awakening. We're going to be talking a lot about a spiritual awakening today as a result of the of these steps, which are the 12 steps, which are the first three are an introduction to Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So it's receiving Jesus, accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, receiving the Holy Spirit, and then giving your will to God, the Father. So that's 1, 2, and 3. And then 4 through 7 is really letting the Holy Spirit lead and guide your now new man identity, your true man. And it's the renewing of the mind And then I would say 8 and 9 is getting right with the world, others, not only forgiving others, but going out and if you've wronged another, you know, to ask for forgiveness and to forgive others. They don't have to come to us to have forgiveness. We release them and we forgive. And then 10 and 11 is a daily reprieve. It's your relationship with God. It's daily bread. It's cleaning house daily before you go to bed or during the day. If you find yourself, you know, thinking out of line of God's will, then you can just go to him and repent or call someone and, you know, confess that you might have done something, said something, thought something, whatever it is that's tugging at your heart. The Holy Spirit, when he's in your life, that's his job, is to rebuke those things, to give you the nudge that that's not who you really are. That's not who God created you to be. So don't take it in a negative way. Take it in a positive way. Today, I'm always like, wow, you're that close to me, that you love me that much that you're poking at me. That's how close he is. He's into me, you see. He sees me deeply, and he wants to tell me. And then the same thing happens when he gives me a hug in the heart, when you know that you know, you're lining up with him, and that's a kiss. I always say it's his kiss, the hug of the heart. So we're going to talk about the spiritual awakening and what it's like as a result of doing this work. And step 12 is, now that you're spiritually mature, having had a spiritual awakening, meaning I know who I am, I know who I am is, and I am lives in me, so the hope of glory lives in me. So everything I need to be able to fulfill his plan and purpose in one day, minute by minute, if it needs to be, he will supply if I go to him and line up with his word in obedience or discipline, discipleship. I allow the Holy Spirit to disciple me, right? And that's step 12. Step 12 is service. Service is love, charity, okay? And it says, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried, and when I really go deep into what this means, we tried to carry this message to others. When Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, he was sent out by the Holy Spirit to be tempted. So we try during, even though we were subjected to testing during our going out evangelism, right? We tried to carry this message. We carry it with us to go and deliver it to other people. What's the message? The message is the good news. I've been doing 12-step work for over 30 years, okay? Not only to myself, not only am I a member, but it's like that man's club. But I'm a client. Not only am I, like a therapist, but I'm a client. Okay, so I've been doing it, and I've been sharing without Christ as the center, even though I love God. I didn't give my life to God, and I didn't accept him as my Lord and Savior. He was God to me, but I didn't know him. Okay? There's a very big difference in my life today with those doing this work without God, Jesus Christ, and doing this work with Jesus Christ. So there's a very big transformation and a renewing in the mind that happens, and I'm an example of it. So I know it's real, and I want to share that with people. So, and that's the message of even my journey, is whether it's, if your journey is depression and you're going to a therapist, then that's the platform. There's a ministry in it. Once you give it to God and you allow God to heal you, along with whatever you're doing in the natural, when the spiritual and the natural, miracles happen, okay? I'm not telling anybody, you know, stop doing, because I still go to meetings. Not only do I go to meetings, but I bring Jesus in the meetings now. You know, there's a meeting on Mondays that I do over at the hall, and it's Christ-centered. And not all meetings are, and that's fine. But the one that I do with a wonderful group of people who are like-minded, nations like me, we go into the nations and bring people who desire the same thing, who want to be in one accord, right? So same thing. So we go into the nations and they come in, and if it's not for them, they don't come back. But a lot of people come back. You know, it's something that they're hungry for, and more, especially in today's time right now, There's a hunger and a thirst. So we go out and we evangelize. God wants us to do this with the service. But if I'm not right in myself, my evangelism is not going to be right unto him. I could still do those things, but I'm not doing them. I have to have the right heart. And doing the work before, and this is where the fruit comes in, right, James? Doing the work, the growing of the fruit inside me is 6 and 7, really. Mm-hmm. You know, because we have gifts and talents. We're born with gifts and talents. And my whole life, I use the same gifts that I have today, but are much more enhanced because my faith is, you know, towards what he wants me to do. But I was using them even in a negative way for unto myself to get attention, whatever it was, you know. And today I use it to bring people to Christ. Hallelujah. So we all have, and we talked about the gifts and the talents. And now we're going to talk about the awakening. And the fruit is part of the awakening because as we have daily bread, we're watering. When we're reading the word, we're watering the seed. What seeds? It could be forgiveness. It's Jesus' seed. It's his character. It's who he is. It's God in us. Okay, so we have a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. We try to carry this message to others, especially sick people, sinners, sickness, disease, suffering, whether they're alcoholics, people who are, you know, bitter. All of those spirits that try to keep us away from God, okay? And practice these principles. And what are the principles? The principles are the characteristics, the attributes of God that we grow during our time, you know, cultivating here on earth, the seed. Because this is the only time that we have to grow the seed of Christ in us. When we're in heaven, we're complete. I do believe that there's levels and growth there too, but on earth is where he wants us to really start the process so that we can bring people into him in all our affairs. That means everything. That means our finances, our marriages, our parenting, our workplaces, our hobbies, whatever it is, our writing, our music. That's all our affairs. He wants to be part of everything. Hallelujah.
And when you said earlier, because I was wanting to add in a few minutes ago, when you mentioned your motives when you were doing the ministry before you knew Christ, and the first time I ever heard that authoritative, audible voice of the Lord, which was in my room, it was pretty, I didn't know he could talk like that. And I've heard it 8 times, but there's like 5 years between times, so it's not like it's not like I hear that all the time. But he said, that booming voice came in and said, this is not about us, our ministries, or our anointings. This is about a God and his people. Amen. And him calling them back to him.
Amen, amen. So when we say having had a spiritual awakening, it's knowing, it's the waking up of our spirit. It's the born-again experience. It's knowing who I am and who Christ is in me, who I am is in me. I am. You know, when he said to Peter, who do they say I am? That's where I was. I was like, yeah, Jesus is, you know, Elvis and, you know, Thomas Edison, like a man who just changed something really big. I never denied him ever being a man. You know, I just didn't put him in. I mean, I knew he was the Son of God, but I never really understood.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even explain it because it was just, the revelation is just so big when you really understand who he is, you know. Because I loved God, even though I was doing things that were so against him, you know, because I didn't know him.
Yeah.
You know, and now, knowing him is knowing who I am. Knowing who I am is knowing who I am, because he tells me who I am, you know, and he lives in me. And so I am love. So I am love, because I am in me is love. I am forgiveness. So you know, I have all these things. And in order to be able to effectively go out and do service, you need to know, I really believe this, that you have all you need is already, I have healing. So now I can give it. It's all of God in me to be able to give to another person. You know, he gave it all first. So we need to go out and carry the message. So step 12 is knowing, understanding, and using God's wisdom through action that he is love and he lives in me. So love lives in me, loves in you, the one that's listening right now. He's speaking to someone because as I was doing this, I'm like, God, you know your people. You know what they need today. Because I have teachings, but he always gives me something fresh. When I'm reviewing my stuff, he always gives me, adds something on. And I know it's for, not only for myself, I always receive, I try to take whatever. You know, I say, okay, God, I'll take that. But I know it's for others too, because he loves us all, right?
Yeah, one of the big problems in the body of Christ is we think we're worms that God just saved, you know, which we're just dirty, rotten sinners, and just by the grace of God. And it's true that we were sinners, but we were first created for him. Amen. We were king's kids. And I always give this example. I've probably done it on here. 3-year-old kid gets kidnapped. He's the king's son. And he has to live with a bunch of thieves and stuff. And he's 25 years old, and somebody figures out who he is. And they take him to the palace, and the king's like, oh, my son, you're heir to the kingdom. This is all yours. And he gets up at night, and the kid's eating out of the garbage can. What are you doing? Oh, I'm not worthy. No, you were worthy. That's not you. What you've been doing the last 25 years is totally not you.
Amen.
That's the not you. The real you is, you're my son. Oh, no. And just getting it that we were God's created
before
children that the enemy stole. So we're not just a bunch of dirty, rotten sinners, even though we had become dirty, rotten sinners, but we were king's kids that became dirty, rotten kids who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. Mm. And we are sons and daughters of the Most High.
Amen.
And he lives in us, and we could do the same things he did.
Praise God. That's so good. Yep. So, and that's the thing. So love lives in me. Everything he is, right? He loved me first, so I can have love. I can have him to give to others. He wants us to share him with others, right? In John 3:16, it says, and this is for. You see, the whole thing with forgiving is forgiving. You know what I'm saying? Like, it makes so much sense to me. And he says, for God so loved the world. So for, he give you love, for love, right? To give, right? The world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. Everlasting Jesus. Imagine the word in you. It's unbelievable. When the more you sit with the Lord, the more he reveals, the more he does word studies with you. It's a lot of fun if you spend the time with him. He knows how to speak to each and every listener here. He knows what will engage you. Give him few minutes and he'll captivate you. He'll compel you. Okay, because we're going to use that word tonight. And because we're supposed to compel somebody to want to be in his presence. All right. And James, you want to say?
No.
1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. God gives first all things. That's why we need to seek him first. We seek him first, we get what we need so that we can go out and do what we need to do. We might not know what the whole day picture looks like, but he does. So if I go to him first, right, seek first the kingdom and his way of doing it, his righteousness, right, his will be done, these things will be added. He will fill me up with everything that I need as the day goes by and I find myself in a situation or there's a need. I have it. The solution is in every person listening if you choose to receive and believe, really. Your faith is as far as you're going to go, basically, in your walk.
And believing is just trusting him, too, and knowing him. And, you know, the enemy is on a rampage, but that's only because this is the hour God is moving mightily.
Step 12, spiritual maturity. I am a son or daughter of God. That's what James was just saying. It's when you can step over to that other side. You know, for me, it's more than Christianity. It's fellowship. It's like, it's following Christ. It's being in a family. It's citizenship. You know, we're in God's family. We're in a royal family. He calls us royal priesthood. So, and we're sons and daughters.
We're in a chosen generation.
We are and I'm going to read that too. Amen. We are a chosen generation, right? So the same spirit that raised Jesus from the grave, the dead, raised me when I got born again. Resurrection power, right? Same spirit speaks life into us and brings us. Once we receive Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell us. I was a corruptible seed, but now, today, I am incorruptible. Its fruit is grown through a seed. You need a seed, the tree, right? Talents and gifts are given. I had them when I was born, and I was abusing them and misusing them like everything else I was doing because I didn't know what they were for. I thought they were for me. So if I was a good artist, I danced. I was in, I did break dancing and stuff, and it got me out of class. I mean, little things like that. You know, I would use my gifts and talents to manipulate to get out of like school so I can do choreograph or people would desire to want me around and I'd be included in things. So it was all to fill me up, you know? So don't be a passerbyer. So today I was reading some of the stuff that I do with the Lord, and he was talking to me about the Good Samaritan and how we can easily be that, like those other, like the priest and the Levite, and walk away and say I'm too busy or something's going on. We can be quick to judge, but don't we do this? We do the same thing, right? There are sinners lost, sick, and suffering all around us that the thief, Satan, is killing, stealing, and destroying, leaving them for dead. Some of this stuff I pulled out of stuff. And we sometimes look the other way. You know, I have to always say, God, how would you use me today? How will you use me today? Show me what you want me to do. How do you want me to speak to somebody, right? We have excuses too, all the time. I mean, I was just thinking, you know, God is so good because I'm like, you know, I'm really busy with planning the wedding for my daughter. It's coming up and everything. And I always have to remember, he brings it up. He's like, yeah, but what's first? You know, like I have to prioritize certain things in my life today because those things will get done if I remember he comes first. All right. So evangelism should be a priority. So how can I be an effective evangelist if I'm not going to God and getting my directions, my instruction for the day? It's like my assignment. And then there's supplies sometimes that I'm going to need for the assignment, right? So Jesus said to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And we say that these steps, good news, what those steps do, what Christ-centered in them, right? To every creature. And that's in Mark 16:15. And in Luke 14, and this is the Great Commission that God, Jesus spoke to us. This is directions from Jesus that we need to go. This is our purpose. Jesus told us what our purpose is. So if you're listening and you don't know what God wants to do in your life, Jesus told us. These are the scriptures that he told us. And there's so much more than even all of this. But this is the Great Commission for each and every person that's in the kingdom of God, okay? And even for those that aren't, but they don't know it, and they're not willing to, they're not there yet. And that's why it's so important that we bring people to Christ, because they're missing their purpose, you know? So in Luke 14:23, it says, go out into the highways, and that's the visible, right? And the hedges, and that's the hidden places people like to hide behind bushes from sin. And compel, and that means make, bring about, force, urge people, urge them to come in to the kingdom, that my house may be filled. Hallelujah. And then in Matthew 28:19-20, Jesus says to us, go, therefore. And this is in the going. Going is so important. And this is what step 12 is. We carry out. We go out. Right? Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe, which means keep, to look for all the things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, never to end. Always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Right? So that's our little intro to what we've been talking about on the 12 steps. So we will continue. So we just finished with the gifts. And one of the things I want to talk about is the born-again experience. And in 1 Corinthians, it's becoming the corruptible to the incorruptible, okay? And 1 Corinthians 15:44 says, it is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. So we have to remember that even though our natural body will eventually die, we get a spiritual birth. You know, it says water and spirit. So we get a spiritual birth. We are spiritually dead. Dead men walking, really, without the Holy Spirit. You know, even though there's an inner man in there, there's either an inner man that's dead or alive to Christ. So when we get born again, go ahead, James.
And just put scripture with that. When it said on Adam, the day you eat, you shall surely die. But he didn't die for hundreds of years.
Right.
But he died spiritually.
Amen.
And no longer had the Holy Spirit and dominion over the earth. He gave dominion to the enemy, which it says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, and also when the devil tempted Jesus, he said, all these kingdoms are mine, and I can give them to whom I choose. Jesus did not correct him and say they're not yours, because they were given to him. So Jesus came to restore back what the devil stole, that we could be filled with the Spirit again and come alive to Christ.
Amen, amen. So it is at the birth. First of all, when we were born into this earth, we were corruptible seeds. And it's only through...
Corrupted, actually.
We were corrupted, yeah. And only through the new birth, we become incorruptible, because it's God's seed in us. And he's pure. So that becomes our new man identity. But the mind, soul, the will, the emotions still thinks old news, old things. It still is motivated and influenced by natural things. And we have to relearn, renew our minds by the word of God, so that our old nature, little by, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, that's what it says even in our literature, will line up with the new man, the word of God. The new man identity. Hallelujah, right? So, and faith is what gives us that revelation. The more we are in the word, the more, and faith comes by hearing the word of God. So the more we're in it, the more we can build ourselves up in our faith, the more revelation we get, and the more we receive. We already have it all, but I can have 1,000 gifts in this room, right? But if I only look at the surface, I don't see the ones. I can only see maybe 100. I don't see all the other ones underneath because I'm not digging through it. We have to know there's so much more. God gave it all to us. Can't just say something. All right. So the same thing goes, whatever we sow, we reap. Okay? So if we're going to continue to sow with the world, traditions and beliefs, and the old man believes, right? If fate's in, we're going to reap that. If we let the Holy Spirit lead and guide us, and our spirit man, the new man, we're going to sow and reap what God, the word of God, his seed, the good things in life, the eternal things, right? So in scripture and today, people are raised from spiritual death, like James was saying. You know, I know it sounds, some people are like, what are they even talking about? How could I be? And it's like what Nicodemus says, how could I be born again? You know, it's the same thing in the natural, but we'll eventually die, right? We will all die eventually in the body, but our spirit and soul will live forever, eternally, good or bad, okay? So this is the time. This is the time. This is our place. This is the moment to lift your name.
Yeah, and the Corinthians 15:51, that we're raised in an incorruptible body at the last trump, and that's the return of Christ.
Amen. Yeah,
we're changed and live forever.
Yeah. Amen, amen. So we will be eternal beings with a new body, just as Christ was when he was raised. Spirit and soul is all you take to you. So exercise, cultivate them in the word. In the world right now, it's spiritual gym. The word is spiritual gym. Whenever I open the book or I'm listening, I'm in spiritual gym. I'm going to the gym today. Mm-hmm. Just like I physically go to the gym. I got to spiritually go to the gym. And I sit in that private place and I open the book and I do my devotions, whatever it is, right, that motivates you, and receive knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And we had spoken about knowledge is gathering the information, understanding is comprehending the information, and wisdom is acting on the information, you know, and that's God's wisdom, and that's spiritual maturity, spiritual awakening. And sometimes you get spiritual awakenings in certain areas and other people haven't gotten those areas yet. Sometimes, you know, it takes a while to, sometimes I teach things or I've said things hundreds of times and then I'm at lunch with a couple of the women and they're like, you know what I heard? I'm like, and I just chuckle and say, that's wonderful. They got revelation. However, it might have taken another venue, you know, to get it. Mm-hmm. But it happens to me too. You know, I'll be reading something, I'm like, wait a minute. How come I didn't, even when I'm preparing for this, I get new stuff on top of what he's already taught me. Mm-hmm. That's the same thing. So we want fruit of the Spirit. Now we've spoken that the gifts and talents are given and the fruit is grown and it's in you. So we have this, we have to cultivate. See, that's the thing. God's seed has everything in it. When you plant, all the bananas in the banana is inside that seed, right? So I would say this, because I would relate it to the orange, because the Holy Spirit has fruit, like a wedge. All those, it's one orange, but all those wedges are the fruit of the Spirit inside. Okay, so we're fruit trees. We're orange trees. And it takes one seed to grow a big orange tree, right? With many pieces, many oranges with many fruit inside, wedges. And that's the same thing with God. He's one with many characteristics and fruit that he wants to grow in us. But if we don't allow him to water us, and other people water us, if we're a lone wolf, we're going to get devoured, you know? So we want to be with like-minded people, okay? And what are some of the fruits, James? You want to read that? You want to read the scripture or you want to?
Love. Well, okay, go ahead. Yeah, I can read it right
now. Yeah, mm-hmm.
I like the
I know.
King James.
Yeah, go ahead.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Praise you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. That's not in the other translation either. Which meekness, let me say meekness, that's humility. That's not weakness. Moses was the meekest guy in the land. He wasn't no Joe Milquetoast pushover guy. It's humility. Temperance, against such there is no law.
Amen. So, and other words that mean the same thing, love, peace, patience, long-suffering, kindness, like you said, humility is meekness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self control. That's a big one. That's sound-mindedness. That's spiritual maturity. And we, how could we go do service is if we're going to be going into a place and we're going to be out of control because we don't like what we see or we have fear or whatever it is.
Well, it's having to have get make sure they get your opinions, the right opinion, you know. And that's where humility and meekness come in. And then the temperance is actually the self-control.
Yeah. Self-control. You need to, you know, it's not like you can't have emotions. You can have, you know, a response. But we have to be careful about how we behave through feelings. You know, we want to yield and maybe don't press send right away.
Amen. Just remember, everybody's right in their own mind, including us.
Yes.
So,
yes, right?
You, them, everyone.
Oh,
so
gosh.
How do they respond when, you know, if you think that you got to make everybody get that your opinion's right, you know, you're in a group of 30 people and you want to argue it, then you may want to look at a little self-control. It's okay. It's okay if they are wrong in that one area because no one's going to be right 100% of the time mm-hmm. and everything. So it's how do we get along? It's not having to prove you're right. That's big part of humility
and spiritual maturity. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. So that's how we can be of service. The maximum service to the Lord is when we can get ourselves out of the way, you know, our own feelings, pride, and all those things. When we can grow this fruit, we're most effective to be infecting to another person of God's seed. You know, and that's what it is. It's a lifestyle. So spirituality is discipline of the spirit. Okay, it's spiritual maturity. Mature, sound-minded, spirit, soul, and body. It's when your whole being lines up with Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the wholeness of God, and you can operate that way. Even in the worst conditions, sometimes you have to pull back and you have to say, wait, I need, you know, we say even in AA, they'll say, go if you have to go to the bathroom, a dirty bathroom, get on your knees and pray before you respond. You know, if you're feeling like tempted and that's the whole thing. When we carry this message, right, when we're being tried and true, trialed to carry a message, temptation's going to come at us because temptation is designed to get us out of our calling. So if God's calling you to serve in a certain area, temptation may start to come because that's temptation's job. But it's not a sin to be tempted. It's a sin to allow temptation to overcome you.
And you got to repent quickly because different people have different strongholds.
Right.
When temptation
exactly.
maybe look like, I can't believe they're doing that. But for them, that spirit's there and they're trying. They may be trying hard on you, even though you're not doing it.
Amen. I mean, look at my last story when I was in Christian Dior. Here I am. I'm healed, laying hands on people. Everybody's like, oh, my God, my back feels great. Because in my mind, that doesn't work. The enemy doesn't work in that area of healing because I'm convinced that I've been healed by his stripes. And I practice it. It's not that it just happened. Believe me, it hasn't just happened. It's been an evolution of cultivating, you know, that tree, right?
Yeah.
So, but here I am coveting, getting angrier and angrier as the day. I came home angry. And it was all because I wanted to be able to live and do those things. I had a fantasy in my mind. I was not sound minded. And I know I got banged on the table, so I apologize if you heard a big nod. But that's not sound-mindedness. I allowed cuckoo get in there, a little cuckoo-ness, right? Disrupt this, a little tornado or maybe seas, just rough seas. Not good.
Yeah.
Amen.
That was your old landing strip, so that's...
That's right.
Like someone else that may not just fly by no place.
Amen.
But then they may be tempted in another area that you're not tempted.
And I'm like, what? You know? Yeah, exactly. But now, since that awareness, every day we go over it, God and I. Little by little, he shows me things, you know?
And praise God.
I know. Listen, I know. Because I was ready for it. You know, and I'm getting prepared to, he's preparing me to be exposed to even more.
Praise God.
But I'm going to be prepared. I pray that I'm prepared. You know what I mean? Like I'm that's what I'm preparing for. You know? Hallelujah. So, because he loves us so much. He always says he'll, you know, in temptation, he'll never give us anything we can't handle. If we go to him, there's nothing too great. What?
I just thought of, because it was shoes, I just thought of.
Shoes.
Because I had someone I was mentoring. Did you know? The, and he got in this shoe thing. No, not you.
Oh.
But, and he just liked to buy the expensive brands. And I'm like, well, I just don't do that. No big deal to me, you know, but. He was like, well, I only buy a pair of shoes every so often, and I think I should be. I'm like, whatever, you know. And the guy at the time had, like, no money, but he'd buy, like, just expensive tennis shoes. It wasn't a big deal. I think it was bothering him. And we went to this conference in Missouri, 17,000 people, and the guy starts talking about that very thing.
Amen.
He looks over, okay, you're right.
Amen. Amen. You know, God is good, and he loves us, and he has a sense of humor.
Yeah, it's not what you have, it's what has you.
That's right. So, okay, so we want to have a sound mind. Spirituality is the state of having connection, a relationship to God and the spirit realm. So even if we, this is important, because spirituality, if we have healthy spirituality, connection to God, he will show us demonic stuff, things, because he's going to use us to cast them out, to pray for somebody, you know? It's all God. Hallelujah. And the relationship between God and man, me, right? It's Christ-mindedness. It's his mind operating, talking to my spirit. We give him access to all of us, to every part, every body part. And he can use us, and he will. So holiness is having the gift of the Holy Spirit in us, the life in the Spirit, the discipline of the Spirit. That's what holiness is. So I am holy today. The Holy Spirit lives in me. Sometimes I don't sound it or act it, and I got to repent. But holiness lives in me, and I have to remember that, and I have to honor that and be obedient to that. Because when I'm not, I grieve holiness. I grieve. I thirst it. I quench it. And I suppress holiness. And then what rises up? Unholiness. And that's not what I want for my God to be glorified by. He can't. Who'd want that? Who wants that kind of God? Right? So 1 Peter, and I'm just going to read this 2:9 says, but you are a chosen generation, James, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And like I said, a nation is a group of people sharing like-mindedness. They seek unity. They're a covenant with God. They're all in the same accord. Holy nation. He wants us to go out. So when he says go into the nations, the nations that we go into are in one accord with the world influence. He's sending us into the enemy's territory. We are the gift that he's sending into darkness, because we're the light. If we allow him, if we don't let our light, our lamps go dull, when we walk into those dark places, the light shows up. And yes, people, the enemy flees, runs, people will reject us. But if we know who we are in Christ, and we know who I am, is, and who we belong to, then we won't get offended, and we won't be tempted to be distracted and be part of the problem. We could be the solution. That's what service is all about. Hallelujah. Right? His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into a marvelous light. And what is light? Truth. It's truth. So we are called to bring truth wherever we go. And not only with our words, but our lifestyle. The unworded vision of what it looks like to have truth in your life. You don't need to speak truth sometimes. You just need to be truth. just your life. Right, James?
Yep.
So discipline of the spirit, I am holy, Christ lives in me, has to do with the spirit, not as ghosts, like, you know, that kind of thing, but as the essence of being human, your being, your spirit man, okay? Your spirit and soul is your inner being man. It's eternal being life. It's the unseen spirit and soul, spirituality, okay? And he wants that to line up with him. Walking in truth is the light. So when we walk in the truth, we bring the light, his light. He is the truth. He told us that. What did he say? I am the way.
The truth and the life.
Amen. So that means if we're walking in truth, we're walking in Christ, right? Wherever we go, Jesus. So your spirit, your true man, either, now listen, you can either operate in your old man or your new man. Okay, it's called self, your true self. Lead your soul, and your soul lead your body. So if your soul's not right, kookity kookoo, then your body's going to be wobbly wobbly.
How do you spell it?
C-O-O.
I'm kidding.
Yeah. Cuckoo.
Kookity kookoo.
Kookity kookoo, right? And then what's the evidence? God says, I know those who love me because they keep my commandments. And how does he know? Because of the lifestyle that they're living, the actions, the words they speak, all right? And when we are, our strength, when it says, I love you with all my heart, my soul, my strength, it's talking about the body, the power of your body, okay? If you're not operating in the Holy Spirit power, you're going to be operating in demonic power. And yes, Satan has dominion over the world. And, you know, so, and if you give him dominion over your world, he will take it. That means you're putting him and his lies above God. And the lies could be, if I gamble, I can get the money that I need for this. If I drink, I can. And not only that, if I stay mad at that person, I don't ever have to talk to them. It'll go away. Like little things, lies, right, that manipulate us and tempt us. 1 Corinthians 2:4-5. Did you want to say something, James?
Just when you said power, because there is just occultic power. The enemy does have power. Mm-hmm. The church just says, like, he doesn't have any powers. That's a wrong face to put on him. Just we have dominion over him.
Amen.
The problem is when we get saved, we step one foot in the kingdom, and if we got one foot out of the kingdom, we now just became enemies with the second most powerful being on the planet. And he's going to attack you everywhere you have your foot out of the kingdom of God, whereas you may not have been getting attacked like you were before you knew the Lord, because you were not a threat to him. He had you. He wasn't worried about you. Now, all of a sudden, you become a threat. He knows your calling. He knows the gifts you're called, that you're going to move in, that you don't even realize. He knows a lot more than people give him credit for, even the church. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, you're getting attacked, and you're like, I don't understand this. I was better off before I knew the Lord. Well, no, you weren't. You're going to burn forever. But you just got to get your other foot in the kingdom of God,
That's right.
Got dominion over all that.
Amen. So get your foot in. Everybody listening, get in there.
That's why you
got to
read the word and renew
your
mind.
Don't hang out.
You got to forgive.
When people say,
forgiveness is the most common one.
Amen. When people say, you say, hey, how you doing? I'm hanging in there. No. Get in. Give me your hand. I got your hand right now, whoever's listening. Come on in. All right? Because once you're in, that's it. He can't touch you. Praise the Lord. So when we peek our little finger out, he's like ready to bite it. He's always waiting. So 1 Corinthians 2:4-5 says, and my speech and my preaching were not the persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Hallelujah. So faith and wisdom, where's your faith? You know, if I have faith, listen, I used to have faith okay. So I was cocaine. That was my drug of choice. And I graduated from snorting to freebasing. And praise the Lord, I got sober before crack became a very big thing. But I had faith. I watched how people were cooking it because I didn't want to rely on anybody. I wanted to be independent. So I had faith, and I watched, and I watched, and I learned how to do it on my own. So I had faith that that would relieve me of my problems. That would make me, you know, prettier, sexier, all these things, more popular. People would, like, want to hang out with me, especially the girls, because I knew how to do it. We didn't need the guys anymore, you know. So, but what I'm saying is I faithed in that, you know, and I drew people in. So it works both sides of the fence is what I'm trying to say to people. So now I faith in God and his word, Jesus, and everything I do, I study it, I practice it in my life, and people draw into where, even if it's a phone call from New York, can you pray? That's a drawing into him because they know there's a relationship. There's something that I know that I have that they need. And it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. And that's what I share with people. So when I am asked to pray, I pray with. I don't just say, okay, I'm going to pray, or I'll pray right there. Or if somebody even texts me, I'll do a little prayer. Or pray with me. Because people have, everybody can pray. I know in the beginning it was hard for me too because I didn't know what to say.
And faith is when you have worry, usually it's projected fear of something mm-hmm. happening, mm-hmm. which 99% of that never happens, but you actually put faith in something bad happening. So
Amen.
It's actually still faith.
And that's right.
And, but the enemy's running your mind with it, of course.
Right.
But if you just think about how that never happens and you spend most of your life in those worry things
and
that do not happen.
Why do you worry? Why? So... And, you know, I think of a coin when we talk like this. Like a dime is a dime, whether it's the heads or the tail that I'm looking at. It's the same thing with faith is faith, whether it's the head or the tail that I'm looking at. It's still faith. What am I faithing in, right? It's what I'm going to allow to grow and cultivate in my life because I'm spending more time with it. I'm meditating on it. I'm watering it, whether it's through thoughts, through words, through reading about it. That's why we have to be careful about when you get a diagnosis, what are you doing? Instead of reading about all the symptoms and all the possible things it could be, why not read the word of God? You know, Leviticus tells us about all those things. And then we know where the root causes come from. Hallelujah. And then we can cast them out. Praise the Lord.
In Deuteronomy,
yeah.
And okay. It says, if you keep my covenants, these blessings will come. If you do not, these curses will come, unless mm-hmm. all men are diseased down to hemorrhoids.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
We were talking about that in the jail this week. It was very good. We had very good. Yeah. It's really good. So God's spirit in you is all you need to be able to serve and preach and demonstrate the power of God through your lifestyle, through your actions, and through your words is him. But you have to have faith. And it's the faith is in God, his word. It's in Jesus. Jesus is the word, the way, the truth, the life. So not people, places, and things. So who, what, where, and why is my faith in and in what? Because it's faith in. So I have to put it in Christ or in the world. It's up to me. So John 3:5-8 says, Jesus answered, said, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You would not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit, like the wind. So let me just say, there's the water baptism and the Spirit baptism, right? Mm-hmm. So, and it's important because people stop at the water repentance. But there's a whole, the indwelling and the empowering of the Holy Spirit that makes us able. See, if I still think I'm not able, I'm not, my feet are not planted in the kingdom, because God makes us able. Right, James?
Yeah, being ignorant of the promises doesn't make the promises not real just because you're not
That's
operating
right.
in them. And John the Baptist, I mean, he baptized a lot of people, but it wasn't when the Holy Spirit come, when the disciple ran into the people, he said, "You have you received the Holy Spirit since you believe? We know not whether there be a Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost." And then he said, "Well, what baptism were you baptized in?" He said, "The baptism of John," which people, there's still a lot of that going on.
That's
they don't
right.
even know to go for
them. Amen.
And then he baptized, prayed for them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah. And we did that at the jail. So it's so important. And I want to stop there because we'll talk about the born again experience next week, okay? Because it's so important, because I do believe, like, you know, it's easy to say Jesus Christ is my Savior. And we do say Lord and Savior, but Lord is a whole different type of action that needs to occur in order to get the fullness of what born-again experience is and the spiritual awakening. So with that, we'll stop there because I wanna pray. And I just want to say that if anybody wants to call me, if they want to share a testimony, or if they have a prayer request, they can do that, 631-745-7980. And James, do you want to pray? Or
yeah, I just want to say our heart's got many facets, and he's Lord of parts of people's hearts, and he may be not Lord of forgiving this person, then he's not Lord. And it's when we make him Lord of our whole heart.
Whole thing. Then, every room in that mansion.
That life really changes.
Praise God.
So, Father, I ask you to bless everyone listening, Lord. I ask, Father, that you just move mightily on this nation and this world, Father. I know that revival is coming. You showed me for 20 years what's coming, and I just thank you that it looks like you're moving. And when you move, the devil moves, and people listening that wonder why they're getting attacked so much, it's because God's on the move. So the enemy's just throwing dust up. So let's stay focused on the Lord and just ask what he wants for us in this hour. You were chosen to be born in this time. It's not coincidence you're living in this day and hour. This is a day and hour that disciples looked and the prophets of old wish they could live in. So you are blessed. So Father, I ask you, bless these people and move them forward in their callings. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Shalom, shalom. We got you. We'll talk to you next week. Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. to hear and experience another level of God's transforming power, where the truth makes you free. For more information about Kingdom Recovery, I can be reached at 631-745-7980. All the glory to the God of love. All the glory to the God of love. I believe in the blood of Jesus that washes white as snow. I believe as I bow.